You all ready to get started?
Amen.
Man, it's so great to be here. Man, I feel like I've been here in a long time. It's been a whole month. So happened that we on Torah number 31, Emor. And it's Hebrew for speak. And I remember last year, I went back and listened to last year's message, and I had the Friday night, so it was kind of encouraging to go back and listen to yourself and hear what has to be said. But how you know that Yehovah's been speaking a long time? And we've been learning a lot that he's been teaching us through his word. And it's been so important. And I tell you what, I went through quite a few of the slides, but I don't have many for tonight. But we had to look at some things that I thought was very important in the word. And it's Torah 31, Emor, Hebrew for speak. And it's Leviticus 21 through 24, 23. And the Haftorah is Ezekiel 44, 15 through 31. And I apologize, man, I'm still battling with the whatever this is. So it sounds a little stuffed up. Yeah. Anyway, but look, I was asked, I said, I guess you don't want the mic. No, I couldn't do it the other night, the other day anyway. But anyway, let's go look at some stuff. But, you know, when you want to spend that time with Yehovah, he's going to teach you some stuff if you listen and back and pay attention. So the other morning I got up early, and that's we're going to start out in Leviticus chapter 19. Have me just go back and look at something that I feel that is very important that we missed. So y'all just bear with me when we go through this. My wife said, baby, she got up early that morning also. She come and said, you crossing your T's and dotting your I's? I said, yep. So hopefully tonight I can cross a few more T's and dot a few more I's tonight. So in Leviticus 19, verse 1, he said, and Yehovah spoke to Moshe saying, and I know we had this, but we're just going to do a little backtracking. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, be set apart, for I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am set apart. Don't you know what we have learned, we just can't come to him any kind of way. We have to check ourselves. Because we see a great example through Nadab and Abihu, what happened. And even Yah even reminds him, don't come into my place like that. So, like I said, we have to pay attention and how we conduct our lives, how we act outside of these walls here, because he is set apart. And look, people are watching. I had a few encounters over, since I ain't been here for a while, I had a few encounters that I was able to talk with some people and share with some people. One lady I met from New Orleans, and the first day she met me, she didn't say nothing, but the second day, she says, those tassels you're wearing? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you a Hebrew, Israelite? You can't be a Jew. I said, no, not really. I said, but this is what I follow. And I started to explain to her. I got a chance to share some word with her. Had not learning what we learn now, being set apart, conducting a lot, that would have probably never been an encounter. Would have never got the chance to minister some word. He says, and each one of you should fear his mother and his father and guard my Sabbath, for I am Yehovah your Elohim. Do not turn to idols and do not make for yourself molten mighty ones. I am Yehovah your Elohim. And that's a lot said right there in just these first four verses, because that's a lot, and we know there's a lot that's going on in the world today that we don't even know about, the things that we don't see. But before I go to a few of the slides, what are you talking about? Do not turn to the idols. And do not make for yourself molten mighty ones. We're gonna look a little bit into that. We need to go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. And this is Shaul addressing the church in Corinth. He said, for I do not wish you to be ignorant, brothers, that all our fathers were under the cloud and all pass through the sea. The Shaul was already, we know as a body because we know automatically where he's going. We already way in after Yeshua ascended. And what is he doing? He's taking his back. And all were immersed into Moshe, into the cloud, into the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed. And that rock was Messiah. I mean, you know, he is our rock. And we don't, any other source outside of him would be considered an idol. We need him. We really do. Especially in today's time, we need him. However, with most of them, Elohim was not pleased. What do you mean? He's the one that's leading us out, and he's not pleased? For they were laid low in the wilderness. Now we know what that means, laid low, that not everybody made it out. There was some learning experiences that went on in the wilderness. And I know we learned all that, but this is Shaul addressing. Years later. And all these became examples for us. By now, we've been having enough word with enough season on it that we should learn from these examples. We really don't have much excuse or leg to stand on when it comes to the scripture right now. We know we shouldn't feel like we're handicapped or crippled. We've been well seasoned over these past few years. Amen. For they were laid low in the wilderness, and they became examples for us so that we should not lust after evil as those indeed lusted. I wish there were more people here tonight. How in the world you lust after evil? They lusted after it. You talk about I didn't see that before, really pay attention to that. But you know when you read slowly, sometimes it catches your attention. You lust after evil. And you see this go on today. In the church world and outside. But this happens here. More often than what we think. And do not become idolaters as some of them did. I just read that. Don't in Leviticus, I just read 19. Don't follow after idols. But what he said, they became idolaters. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it has been written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, we know what happened there. And what kind of leader would you think Moshe would have been? Oh, Aharon, that rose up to play. We all adults here. What do you think, what kind of leader would have said, oh, Aharon, why you did that? Yehovah is mad. Look, we just need to love one another. You know, and just put away the idol. He wasn't no pansy pants. And this is what Shaul was teaching. And what we're learning here, we're not here to pansy pants. And be sugarcoaters. We're here to say what the word says and stand upon it. Not be, we're going to get to it. I don't want to really try to speak too fast. As it has been written. Now for New Testament believers, if they want to just follow this, they don't even know what we're talking about. You won't even know the storyline. Neither should we commit whoring, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. If that wasn't good enough the first time we slaughtered 3,000 men, now we hear 23,000. But if you go back, I'm not going to get into it because in Exodus, it talks about in Numbers, which we're going to come across that, it mentions 24,000. So 23, 24, I'm not going to argue about it. But you think they would have learned from the first mistake. When the sons of Levi slaughtered 3,000, now we slaughter right here because this is much worse. 23,000, Shaul says. And you can find that in Numbers, chapter 25, verse 9, that story. Neither let us try Messiah, as some of them also tried and were destroyed by serpents. Numbers
think, oh, I must never wrote that one down. I apologize. Neither grumble. Oh, yeah, I did. That can go either 11, destroyed by the serpent. I didn't write that down. I'm sorry. Neither grumble, as some of them grumbled, and were destroyed by the destroyer. I did write that down because there's two separate accounts that you read in Numbers 11, 33 and 34. And in Numbers 16, 41 through 49, you see two separate accounts where they grumbled against Moshe. And it didn't turn out well for a lot of people. They lost their lives. And when we oppose Moshe, or when we oppose what's being taught here, it don't turn out well. Don't be upset with the leaders, because this is what the word says. We're not coming up here speaking our own words. Nor did Yeshua spoke his own words. So we're going to repeat what's said, and we're going to stand for truth. And we're going to see later on why we need to stand for truth. Because as time go on, it don't get easy. It ain't getting easier. I talk to people all, you know, throughout the day here and there. I watch a buddy of mine call me and say, man, there's no shrimp across the river. You know how I know he wasn't lying? I seen about 25 boats come through the pass over here behind Fort Jackson. All coming in because they ain't find no shrimp across the river. It ain't getting easy. Probably you fight the prices. And not counting, that's just one little area. That's not counting what else that goes on into the world. All these came upon them as examples. And they were written as a warning to us. When we get out of line, we better check ourselves, because we can, like I said, Shabbat's coming. And Shavuot's coming this weekend. We need to check ourselves, because we can't just come before him and think that all the time everything is okay. We really should examine ourselves at times. And they were written as a warning to us, on whom the end of the ages have come. How do I know that? The end of the ages is here. Well, we're going to get to that. So that he who thinks he stand, let him take heed lest he falls. And no trial has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And Elohim is trustworthy. We have to put our trust in him. Because we know the end of the ages have come. Who shall not allow us, you to be tried beyond what you are able, but with the trial shall also make the way of escape, enabling you to bear it. He's going to help you. But we have to abide in his word. It says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Therefore, my beloved ones, flee from idolatry. Because that's what it leads to. When you start getting into rebellion, we're going to see later on in the life of Korah, all that's coming up in Bamidbar. It leads to idolatry and rebellion. And Moshe dealt with it. But he wasn't pansy pants about it, I can tell you. He was a leader. And this is what we learn to be. We learn to be leaders. Being trained. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. If I'm here speaking my own words, look, I'll sit down. Because I have no right but to speak his word. If I'm going to speak, I got to stand upon it. And I got to believe what it says and trust what it says. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not in the sharing in the blood of Messiah? What a great question. The bread that we break, is it not on a sharing in the body of Messiah? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Look at Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the slaughtering share in the slaughter place? All these little key words that come up, we should recognize that exactly what he's talking about. A few years ago, I wouldn't have known. Now you understand when we go and you teach the Torah, you learn, you see what Shaul's talking about. What then do I say? That an idol is of any value? Or that which is slaughtered
to idols is of any value? No. But what the nation slaughtered, they slaughtered the demons. No wonder why Yehovah says, if you're going to slaughter a peace offering, bring it inside the gate, not outside. They slaughtered the demon and not Elohim. Don't get caught up in that stuff. And I do not wish to you to become sharers with demons. You are not able to drink the cup of the master and the cup of demons. You are not able to partake in the table of the master and the table of demons. Do we provoke the master to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Well, great questions. He said, what does it got to do with the Torah portion? We're just building on the foundation. But there's a lot of people who like to hear Shaul, so we're going to talk with Shaul tonight and see what he wrote. Let's look at Romans. Chapter 10. I think that's where I want to go. No. Make me sure. Yeah. Romans chapter 10. Truly, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is for deliverance. That's what we want. He that endures until the end. I said that to a brother of mine today. I said, we preach salvation, but we're not really saved until we're saved in the end. You have to endure. And I was telling them about what we have learned, how Christianity is so a cheap religion because you don't have to do nothing. I said, you know who you really look like? You look like some of them folks that really don't, that's no sin, that's no trouble. You just save and you can go around and just do whatever you want to do. I said, what did Messiah die for? I said, what are we supposed to do? I said, don't you know it was a free, salvation was a free gift? You didn't have to pay for it, but you do have to work for it to keep it. I said, shouldn't we not? I said, why does the scripture talk about our good works? How are they going to see your good works if you do nothing? And he said, yeah, you're right. I'm just saying. For I bear them witness that they have an adore for Elohim, but not according to knowledge, not according to your knowledge, according to his knowledge. That's what we have to look. How are we going to know who Elohim is? How are we going to know his righteousness if we don't look and see how set apart he is? For not knowing the righteousness of Elohim and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Elohim. Man, that's the problem. We have to subject ourselves to him. He's the one that made us. Not we ourselves. This is why we have Shabbat service every week to come and learn of him. What he likes and what he doesn't like. That's the reason for the Torah. I'm so glad we're on this journey. People that leave this and turn to go back, the scripture says you're not even fit for the kingdom. For Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousness to everyone who believes. He's not the end, because King James, he's the end. And people take that and they build that doctrine. There you go. You don't need the Torah. But he is the goal. We need him. I mean, what else is there out there? For Moshe writes, even Shaul still talking about Moshe, about the righteousness which is of the Torah, the man who does these shall live by them. Hey, ain't that amazing? There you go. Sometimes when you sit there and you're reading some of these things in your quiet time, he brings this up to your attention. And it's so awesome that when you're sitting there and you're reading that, it's like, I know you read it before sometime, but it just amazes you that it'll jump right at you and it excites you. It wows you. And before you know it, you're on your third cup of coffee and it's time to go. Boy. I got a slide I want to read. And the slide 1:23. This is what really started it all. The Greek word used in the LXX Septuagint here for in Rakara, Leviticus 21:18, for lame is holos, Strong's 55:60, which means halt, which means lame, halt, limping, and cripple. And the Greek word used for bind, tulos, Strong's G5185, which can mean physically or mentally blind, and comes from the word to foul, Strong's 5187, which means to be conceited, foolish, arrogance, vanity, to be lifted up with pride, and high-minded. That don't sound very good. We see a lot of tufao today. That's happening. And I'm going to go to the story here in just a moment. But let's look at, I'm still working on the foundation, so y'all just bear with me. Second Thessalonians. Chapter 2. That's how we're going to talk about that end of days. Because I really believe that's, in time to come, that's where we're heading. And that's what we're going to face. And if we don't get rooted and grounded as men and women, we're not going to know what's false. You're not going to know what's happening. You'll be deceived. That's what the scripture says. So let's read. As to the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah and our gathering together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily unsettled in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as if the day of Yehovah has come. Now we know that day hasn't happened yet, because trust me, we're going to know. If those who are alive remain, we're going to know. When the trumpet blasts and it sounds, and if you're alive, you're still walking on your 2 feet, you're going to know. You ain't going to know that it ain't a foggy day and the ship horn blowing in the river. We hear that on a foggy day and we know what's going on. Can you imagine that day when the trumpet sound and the dead start raising out the graves? What a day that's going to be. There won't be no mistake of who's coming. But we're going to face some things. The scripture warns us. Because why? I read a little while ago, all these were for our learning. And we're going to get to it because we're going to see in the scripture what it says. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first. And the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or that is worship, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. That's scary. Especially if you don't know what's happening, what's going on around the world. A lot of these things are taking place in other countries. We probably don't see or know about it, but look, we just brought it to our attention. Man, you seen that Easter program that was up there in just a church just north of us? That's some crazy stuff. And deceiving people. You know why? Because they don't know the truth. They won't go back and search the scripture and let what's been written for our examples. See this falling away? That word is apostasia. Went back and looked that up. And I have a definition. Oh, yeah. I have a definition for it. I'm sure we all know what it is, but I just thought this one was very fitting. The act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith. I mean, you've turned away from your foundation, what you have learned from the truth, and you walked away from everything you stood for. Shame on us, and shame on them, and shame on you if you do this. After all these years, the time we're putting in, the hours, and to turn your back on him, that's going to be such a sad time. Do you not remember that I told you while I was still with you? We see Yeshua reminds us about that. And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time, for the secret of lawlessness is already at work. Only until he who now restrains come out of the mist, and then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master, boy, we need him, shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. For this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood, in order that they should be judged who do not believe the truth, but have delighted in unrighteousness. Wow, how you delight in unrighteousness? Just so I would have read a little while ago. They lusted after the flesh. It's your flesh that you deal with. I know people said, I heard over here, the devil made me do it. It's your flesh that we deal with constantly, day in and day out. And if you sow to the flesh, what does the scripture say? Of the flesh you reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, it's life. We got to spend time with him. And I tell you, this is more than just 18 minutes of getting up in the morning. What is Shaul? Shaul is just warning us. And what we hear, we're saying the same thing as what he's saying. We're not trying to say nothing different, but we're saying go back and learn what Yehovah likes, then heed to the warnings. And conduct ourselves in a proper manner like we're supposed to. In Corinthians, Galatians. Let's look at something here. Chapter 6. And verse 6. And let him who is instructed in the word share in all that is good with him who is instructing. So what do we do? As we're getting instructed, we're supposed to share. As we're learning, we share what we learn. Not be ashamed. But look at this. He says, do not be led astray. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he shall also reap. Because he who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption from the flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life from the Spirit. And let us not lose heart in doing good. Look, it's get tight. It's getting tight. Getting tighter. Not to lose heart. Stand firm on your belief. Does it matter? Yeah, does it hurt? Yes. It hurts when we see loved ones fall. We see leaders fall. We see members bailing out when you shouldn't be bailing out. But remember, Elohim is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Look, I know it's tough. We live like, look, I'm like everybody else. I put my pants on one leg at a time. So then, as we have occasion, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of belief. Hang in there. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. But know this, verse 1, that in the last days hard times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of silver, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Remember that slide I just read? Disobedient to parents, thankless, wrongdoers, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, fierce, haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of reverence but denying its power, and turn from thee. The world is full of that. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in that. We like I said, we're so much well seasoned now, we should be far more advanced in some of these things. But sometimes situations arise. You're going to have issues because we go through hard times. In Matthew, I'm not going to go there, but it says in Matthew chapter 7, I think I may have wrote it down, 7 and 12 through 14, he said that the way is hard pressed. The road is broad and many are on the road, but enter through the narrow. He said, go through the narrow gate, but it's hard pressed, but it leads to life. And few, without reading the scripture, few that find it. I look around, see a lot of empty seats. Now we can take that for what is what the scripture says. Because there's a few that get on that road and it's hard pressed. Never once said it was easy. We're going to go through some stuff. And without having the foundation that was laid for us, if you don't have something to fall back on, you might wind up on a wide road. I could wind up on a wide road. If we're not careful. Because look, we like flashing lights. We like billboards and signs. It looks good. But behind it is death. He said it leads to destruction. These are all warnings. I don't know why Yehovah, when I sit down in my quiet time, I went to these scriptures. But for sure, I don't sit there and just try to target somebody. It's not what we do here. We're here for learning, for teaching, but not to lose heart. To stand in these last days. From among them are those who crept in the household and captive, silly women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I didn't have no idea what that he's talking about there. So, mean captivating silly women creeping to the houses? Man, that was a come in Google to go look at this stuff. When you don't know, but what they were doing, what is it? Let me try to sum it up real easy. It basically, at that time, there's women without cover. He's warning Timothy, be careful how you go in these houses, because this is what they were doing. Seducing women and you know, if they're heartbroken, they kind of, I'm your daddy. So he warns me about some of these things. Be careful. Because why? What would just happen back in Moshe's time when he had these women? We lost 24,000 men. You think Shaul ain't got that on his brain? We can lose out. So basically, these were what I read, what I found, and I've checked several different findings, it sounds like to me that these ladies never had coverings. As and we look at it's Mamre, but it's not how it sounds. But Mamre opposed Moshe. I can't say it because the Greek is very tough. So as Yohanan and Mamre opposed Moshe, so do these oppose the truth. Men of corrupt minds found worthless concerning the belief, but they shall not go on further, for their folly shall be obvious to all, as also that of those men became. So these two guys here that opposed Moshe, I had to go back and another thing to go back and Google and look that up. They claim to be, and it's in the, I think it said it's in the Mishnah. They give their name. No, in the, I should have wrote it down. They were the sorcerers in Moshe's time, these two guys. And they, according to, is it the Mishnah? I think so. I think that's why I read it. That day, they were there in Moshe's time. They're the one that threw the snakes down, the rod down. And they opposed Moshe. Every time Moshe did something, they tried to oppose him. Even to the point when they left Egypt, they left. And you see several times in the time of Korah, in the time of the and in the Argon, they were involved in all that until Yehovah had enough. He'll let it go for so long until he has enough, and then you cut off. So these were these two guys. You don't see them in Scripture, but they're in the extra writing. That's what I can find. And they opposed Moshe. I look at that as no different today. When we're speaking, and if we're speaking from the Word, why are you opposing? Why do people want to oppose? You're not opposing us. You're opposing Yehovah. Don't oppose your leader. We have to learn somewhere. So I'm not going to oppose my leader that's leading us unto righteousness, unto the truth. I shall go on no further. But you did closely follow my teachings, the way of life, the purpose, the belief, the patience, the love, the endurance, the persecutions, the sufferings, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I bore, yet out of them all the Master delivered me. Hey, we think we're the only one that's going through stuff. We're not. Yeshua went through it. Moshe went through it. Shaul went through it. And why we get to these next couple of verses. So you're going to go through it. When you identify yourself as following Yeshua, and if following him to the best of your ability, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to see the word that Shaul says. But the key is the endurance. We read that the other day. We had that last week when Pastor mentioned that in Hebrews about endurance. We have to hang in there. No matter how tough it gets, how bad it looks, who are we going to hold on to? Who are we building our faith on? What are we going to stand on in these last days, in these tough times? We have to have him. We all need a Savior. And indeed, all those wishing to live fervently in Messiah Yeshua shall be persecuted. I'm sorry, this is part of what we're going to go through. He's not going to come here and take the beating that he did, being spit on, slapped in the face, punched, crown of thorns, for us to waltz right in to the kingdom. I'm sorry, it ain't going to happen. We're going to go through some stuff as followers of him, as believers of him. You'll be talked about. You'll be called crazy. I told a brother, I said, I'm crazy for wanting to obey the Bible. I'm crazy because I want to wear ZCs because what he said, tell the children of Israel, am I crazy? Really, because I want to obey. That makes me crazy. I guess I'm crazy. We'll see. As time goes on, as you endure, we'll see who the crazy one is. But evil men and imposters shall go unto the worst, leading astray and being led astray. You know why? Because you don't have the love of the truth in you. You won't follow what Moshe said. You won't follow what Yeshua said, because Yeshua said, listen to Moshe, because he wrote about me. And every week we're going to learn about him. So if you ain't teaching in your synagogue, wherever you attend, around the world, if you ain't talking about Moshe, I just kind of wonder, what are you teaching? But you stay in what you have learned and trusted, having known from whom you have learned, and from a babe you have known the set apart scriptures, which are able to make you wise for deliverance through the belief in Messiah Yeshua. What are those set apart scriptures? I just wonder. I shared today with a guy for Shell today, because he seen my notes, and he come on the boat, and he said, you studying for a test? I said, no. I said, actually, I have a Bible study tonight, teaching class. And I said, matter of fact, I said, when we come out the river, and you're in the curve right there, you see that church? It looks like a big silver bell? He said, yeah. I said, that's why I attend. I said, but it ain't church or teaching like you think it's. I said, this is from a Hebraic mindset. And I thought to share with him the scripture about the Hebrew and the Jews and the Greeks. And I said, boy, let me tell you something. Well, I said, when Jesus was here, because I got to do it on his level, what he knows, I mean, and maybe he knows more, but he thought this was very interesting because he never heard that. He says, man, I like that. I probably should have said, look, come tonight, but I thought maybe you would ask. But I did tell him, tonight we're having it. But I mean, the idea, I got to share with him just a little bit, and he said, man, that's interesting. I've never seen it that way. Because we read is English all our lives. We never seen it from a Hebraic mindset. I said, and I started to explain just some conversation, but it was well-pleasing because I said what he wanted me to say. At that time, it was for me and this guy on that boat, and I really enjoyed my one-on-one with him today. All scripture is breathed out by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight. And you know what setting straight is? For instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work, or the woman of Elohim might be equipped for every good work, because you're going to have encounters. You need to know what to say, what you stand on when they ask you. So we had, like I said, this was a very good conversation. For teaching, what we learn is for teaching, for reproof, for setting straight, instruction in righteousness. Like I said, this, how do we know that we're in end times? Let's go to the master himself. Let's see what he says in Matthew. Let's look at Matthew 24. I'm going to get to that story for the foundation, because he said, in well-doing, don't lose heart. And I'm going to show you the heart of a king. We're going to get to that. But we still got to talk about this, see what the master said, because we know end times are here, and we're living in it, and we see it. He said, and then going out, Yeshua went away from the set-apart place, and his taught ones came near to point out to him the building of the set-apart place. And Yeshua said to them, do you not see all these? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another at all, which shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his taught ones came to him separately, saying, say to us, what shall this be, and what is the sign of your coming at the end of the age? What are we talking about, these end times? The scripture I just read to, excuse me, sorry about that. And Yeshua answering said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. The first thing he's warning you about, be careful. Because people are going to try to lead one another astray. We see it happening. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. And you shall begin to hear fightings and reports of fighting. See that you are not troubled, for these have to take place, but the end is not yet. We're going to go through some things. There's some more things we're going to see as we live on. For nations shall rise against nations, against nation, and reign against reign. And there shall be scarcity of food, and deadly diseases, and earthquake in places. We see these things happening. So these are Yeshua, and I like what he's going to say here in a little bit. But he's telling us, he's telling them back then what's going to happen. And lo and behold, we're here today. How important this is for us today. We need to pay attention. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. And they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you. Didn't Shaul just say that? We went to Shaul first. Because a lot of people love Shaul. They skip over Yeshua to go straight to Shaul. I don't understand why, but they do. And Shaul said the same thing. If you follow Messiah, you're going to suffer persecution. That's what he said. So we're just going to repeat. And then many shall stumble. And they shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. And many shall stumble. Think about that. He says that. We see this happening in our very eyes. That's a sign that we know end times is here. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh boy. Man, I tell you, we see increase in lawlessness. It is unbelievable. I never seen so many people getting shot these past week. It is unbelievable. Just put the TV on. You know, you don't have to believe me. Just look for yourself. It is unbelievable. It's crazy. Just up the road. More or less anywhere else that we don't hear about because we look local. It is unbelievable. And so is lawlessness being increased? Yes. So what's happening? The love, people that love for the truth, their love is waxing cold because they're stumbling. Because they won't stay rooted and grounded in the truth, in the word. They won't go back and look at our foundation and build on that foundation. Build your house on that foundation. Yeshua even says that. Build your house on the rock. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. We're going to go through some stuff. As a body, as believers, as a church, whether we get down to just one or two of us, you still have to endure. You look, how you say that? Go, if you go down swinging. That's just what it is. Hey, but talk about the truth though. Not literally. Don't take that literally. Oh, but look, go down swinging. But swing on the truth. Hold on to what we've been taught from the set apart scriptures. I'm so, like I said, I can't say enough how thankful I am. When I sit down and I go back and I read for the next Torah portion coming up and the Torah portion back and then look to the next, then Shavuot coming and the next Torah portion after that, because it's our foundation. It's what we stand upon. This is what we preach day in and day out. If you lose that, you lose out with him. And look, it's never easy, but it's just the truth. It's the raw truth. I'm going to say like I heard somebody say one morning in a meeting. You rather be boot out your circle or boot out the kingdom. I never forgot that. Oh, that's serious. If we don't pay attention to the master, to his words. And this good news. What is Yeshua talking about good news? We just talking about all these things happening. He says good news. And this good news of the reign shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end going to come. Well, but the good news got to get out. We got an only way to get out is what? We got to stand on what we've been rooted and grounded, what we're learning, what we're teaching. Anything else is an idol. And he says, don't get caught up in idolatry. There's no end to that. It's only destruction, death. So when you see the abomination that lays waste, spoken by Daniel the prophet, set up in the set apart place, he who reads, let him understand. He's telling us, go back to Daniel. Why is Yeshua talking about going back to Daniel? Then let those who are in Yehuda flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take whatever is out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garment. And woe to them, Oh, I'm sorry. And woe to them who are pregnant. And to those who are nursing children in those days, it's going to be tough. And pray that your flight does not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. Why is Yeshua mentioned? Because you still got to honor the Sabbath no matter how bad it's getting. It's the foundation, to me, of almost the whole scripture. Because when we read Leviticus 23, the first thing it starts out with the Sabbath. And remember the Sabbath and keep it, no matter how bad it gets. Pray that don't happen in the winter. Why? Because it's cold in the winter. Man, you outside, it get cold. It's some cold days. Or on the Sabbath. Even Yeshua's mentioning it. For then there shall be great distress, tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. That's going to be bad. It's going to be tough. That's why we have to endure. That's why we come up here every week. We preach, we say it, and we stand upon it. And we're not gonna bend, because if I said something, I offended you a little bit. Well, first of all, I'm sorry if I did. And if you didn't understand what I was saying, pull me to the side and I'll explain the reason why I said it. But it's not to push you away. It's to warn you to what we lean upon. Sure, like I said, if your leader, if Moshe come down, oh, yeah, Aaron, it's okay. We're going to melt it down. No, he was hard on them. He cracked down on them. What are you doing? It's the same thing what we're saying here. What are you doing? We have everything we need right here. And we won't even spend time with him. And if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the sake of the chosen one, those days shall be shortened. God, still in all his mercy, know that it's going to be tough. When you hold on to him, he's still going to make provision for you. You're not going to get out of it. We're going to go through it. But he's still going to be there with you if you hang in there, if you don't give up. He'll shorten the days for you. If anyone then says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there, do not believe. For false messiahs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. I wonder who these chosen ones are. Those who hang in there. Those who, despite what's going on, I'm coming. I'll be there. Those who show up. Like I said, I made this comment before, that there's two kind of people in the world. There's people who say they come and people who actually show up. Look at verse 25. See, I have forewarned you. It's not a secret. He's telling us. We got to pay attention. So if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. For wherever the dead body is, there the vultures shall be gathered. And immediately, boy, if you make it to verse 29, you in. You made it. But we got to get there. We have to endure. It said, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and all the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Adam shall appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Adam coming on the clouds of the heaven with power and much esteem. And he shall send his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. What a day that's going to be. That's your reward right there. But it don't come cheap. It's not going to be easy. Because look, we got so many loved ones out there. There's so many. And we want all, look, if it would be in our power, we would have them all there. But that's not how it happens. I know that's what the teaching people believe. That's what they say. We have to look into his word. What does his word declare? I know one thing. We have to hold on. As believers, as faithful followers of Yeshua, and as we learn every week, man, we have to hang in there. Yes, amen. Man, oh man. This was good. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to get to that. Let's look at that slide one more time. That slide in 123. Especially that bottom half. Which means to be conceited, foolish, arrogance, vanity, to be lifted up with pride, and high-minded. And this, when I got to that slide, Elvi reminded me of a story. And I want to share. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, I'm sorry. I believe this was in our Torah portion a while back, but I don't know if anybody read it or had the time, so it just seems so fitting tonight. We're going to see someone who was well-doing. We're going to see somebody who was standing on a foundation. But the end, because he got puffed up with pride. And what I just read, we're fixing to put the leaven back in this weekend. Going to come with our 2 loaves. But let it be, it's what he fills you with. Let's see this story. And of course, I went and wrote down the name. But another thing that struck me is the names of the characters that's going to be in here. That I'm going to share their names and their meanings. And I thought this was so powerful. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. And all the people of Yehuda took Uzziyahu, who was 16 years old, and set him up to reign instead of his father, Amatsiah. The name Uzziyahu. His name is H5818. My strength is Jehovah. What a name! What a title! And his father, Amatsiah, H558, Yehovah is mighty. Listen to these names of these characters, of these guys, that what they mean in the Hebrew. It's so amazing. Uzziyahu was 16 years old, but he, in verse 2, he built Eloth, and restored it to Yehuda after the Solomon slept with his father. And that Eloth is just a field, some trees, and you got to go look it up. It's just a place. Uzziyahu was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years in Jerusalem. 52 in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Yekoyah of Jerusalem, H3203, Jehovah is able. And he did what was right in the eyes of Jehovah, according to all that his fathers, Amatsiah, did. So his father trained him as a young man, 16 years old. Can you imagine being a king at 16 years old? Wow. And he sought Elohim in the days of Zerahiah, who had understanding in the visions of Elohim. And while he sought Jehovah, Elohim made him prosper. And Zerahiah is Strong's H2148. Jehovah remembers. Wow. And he went out and fought against the Philistines, and broke down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Yabneth, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around Ashdod and amongst the Philistines. And Elohim helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gebal and in Minutes. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziyahu, and his name spread as far as the entrance of Mitzrayim, for he strengthened himself greatly. When I seen that, he strengthened himself, I just kind of drew up a little red flag. So I just kind of just keep on reading the story. But you can see that this man is prospering. He's a young man. He's following Yehovah. He's doing what's right. And Uzziyahu built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and strengthened them. And corner buttress is like beams, braces. I had to go look that up, y'all, just so you know. And he built towers in the wilderness and dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the low country and in the plain, farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the oil. The soil. Oh, it's behind the little deal. I thought it said oil. I'm sorry. He loved the soil. And Uzziyahu had an army of fighting men who went up out of battle by divisions according to the number on their roll as prepared by Yael, the scribe of Maaseiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the sovereign's commanders. Now this guy, Uel, is H3273, Elohim sweeps away. Maaseiah, H4641, work of Yehovah. And Hananiah, H2608, Elohim has favored. So these names are powerful. And we see this young guy doing very well. You know, and it's just, that's it. So he brought me thinking, when I read this guy, he brought me to that scripture, in well-doing. Don't let your heart faint in well-doing. The total number of the clan chief of the mighty brave one was 2,600. And under their hand was an army of 307,500 that fought with mighty power to help the sovereign against the enemy. And Uzziyahu prepared for them, for the entire army, shields and spears and helmets and body armor and bows and slingshot. Look, he prepped his men ready for battle. Just like we, in our lives, that we prep and ready for battle. We should be armed and equipped and be able to teach and share and help others and look after one another. And he made machines in Jerusalem devised by skilled workers to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. And his name spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Uh-oh. Man, can you imagine these big old bow and arrow deals that shoot big old arrows and catapults? This man was skilled, the scripture says. And he built these things for defense in war and fighting. This was amazing when I read that. For he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Now you're going to see where that slide is going to take place. But when he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Wow. What happened when you get off the narrow path and you jump on that broad road because you think you're there, that you arrive immediate to destruction. For he trespassed against Yehovah. Look, your fight is not with us. It's not with your leaders. It's not with you, not with your brother, your sister. Your fight is with Yehovah, and you don't win. Against Yehovah his Elohim by entering the hekel of Yehovah to burn incense on the slaughter place of incense. You the king, that is not your job. He should have known his place. What we learned, just that first line right here, the 16, I knew exactly what he was talking about because I've read it in the Torah. I've learned what a foundation was at, what as a king, what he shouldn't have done, and what you can do and what you can't do. Just because you're the king. His heart got lifted up with pride and arrogance. That's what happens when you leave the foundation, you start getting to that idolatry. Next thing you know, you get a spell on you. Witchcraft. And Azariah, Strong's H5838, Yehovah has helped. The priests went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of Yehovah who were brave men. These no slouch of priests, yeah. And they stood up against the sovereign, Uzziyahu, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziyahu, to burn incense to Yehovah, but for the priests, the sons of Aharon, who are set apart to burn incense. Get out of the set-apart place, for you have trespassed, and there is no esteem to you from Yehovah Elohim." We've learned that you had to be under the hand of the sons of Aharon. Those were the leaders. Those were your priests. Not anyone. There was an order. Yehovah is set apart. And that's what we've been learning. When we go from chapter 11 of Wakara, of Leviticus, up to what, 22, 21? We learn about his set apartness. All we got to do is just go back and read it for ourselves. Even though we had it, we can just go back and read it. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests. Oh, my bad, 19. And Uzziyahu was wroth. What? The king got mad? And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, Zeraot. I don't know where we learned that. No, I know right here in the English it says leprosy. But the Zeraot broke out of his forehead before the priest in the house of Yehovah beside the incense slaughter place. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him and saw that he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him from there. And he also hurried to get out because Yehovah had struck him. So your fight is not with your leaders or your members of your body. Your fight is with Yehovah. And he is set apart. And like we have learned, he's not going to diminish himself to come low to us. We have to get to him. We have to like what he likes and hate what he hates. We have to follow what he prescribed for us. If not, we're no better than the king. Zeraot broke out on him. And the sovereign, Uzziyahu, I thought he was doing so well. He was. He was taking care of his men. He was fighting for Jerusalem. Was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a separate house outside the camp. Can you imagine you're alone now? No help. Thank Yehovah for Yeshua. I say only the priest can get you back in. There's nothing we could have done. And dwelt in a separate house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of Yehovah. What a bad place to be. And Yathan, his son, was over to the sovereign's house, ruling the people of the land. I forgot to look at him. Huh? Yehovah is perfect. Wow. And the rest of the acts of Uzziyahu, from the first to the last, the prophet Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah, who slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial place, which belonged to the sovereigns. For they said, he is a leper. And Yotham, his son, reigned in his place. We can learn a lot from the scriptures, because it's for our learning. It's for our examples. But we have to be willing to humble ourselves for once, as like Moshe, but be firm on what we stand upon. Like I said, we're not coming here to badger anyone or speak against anyone. The Word does that. We're just repeating. We stand upon the principle of the Word. Man, we can learn a lot because it's for our learning.
I think I had just a couple more.
It is clear, this is slide 220. It is clear that when we see the overriding evidence that is available for us all to see as to just where the word holy comes from and what it derives, actually referred to, that we must take action in not using this very pagan rooted word in referring to the spirit of Elohim or any other aspect of set-apart living. For if we do, we are simply in great error and are giving homage to the Son, which no matter how sincere it may be, it is sincerely wrong and abomination in the eyes of Yehovah. Because some people just abuse that word, holy. It's much more than that. We have to look into that. And that kind of caught my attention today. I didn't hear a whole lot about it, but I thought it was something very important to point out. Because they say, well, we hold it. It goes deeper than that. And this is one thing I was explaining to the guy when I talked to him. Because we just see it in the English form. We don't really dig into the depth of what it really means. And we know that there was a lot of, they claimed to be holy, but there was a lot of pagan worship, sun worship. Yehovah makes it clear for us that we are not to adopt the worship practices and form of the pagan nations, and apply their forms and practices unto him. He's set apart. That's why. We can't just go to him any kind of way we feel like it. He has given us his instructions in his Torah, and we are not to add or take away from them. We have enough in there that we can live the rest of our lives on. If we just take what we have right there and eat for days and time and years. Like I said, I ain't got much further past these next few slides that I read, because, you know, trying to look at that and look at all the reading, if I wouldn't see all the tie-ins. He said, I got over there, just that one slide from the beginning in 123. All these scriptures came from just one slide I looked at. The English word sacred is another word that is frequently used in Christianity in its attempt at referring to what is set apart, kodesh in Hebrew, as hagios in Greek. Interestingly, you will find that this word sacred is in fact not seen in the King James Version, but is used in later translation of the scriptural text. Many words... I'm going to stop right there. I got a hard time explaining all because I just got to that today. But my whole point is in well-doings, we have to hang in there as a body. Look, some of this stuff ain't easy. And some of the stuff is not, it might not seem so fitting, but it really is. It's going to help us in time to come, because you can reflect back and you can go back to the Word. And you can always rely on his word. I know I trust in it. Because I have to. That's all we have. My wife and I, that's all we have. I don't have this big old insurance policy. Or my trust is in him. My hope, my trust is what he says. I have to believe it and take him at his word for what he declares for our lives. So I'm going to stop right there. Like I said, there's so much stuff and so many tie-ins to look at. It's just... and then more to come. So, once again, thank y'all for coming out and bearing with me.